And if you would stand for the invocation and pledge, I would appreciate it. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, just be with us and help us to do what's pleasing in your sight. Lord, we thank you for our family, our friends, our city, our health, and just continue to work with us, Lord, and help us to make decisions that are proper and pleasing in your sight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
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 Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Council, you had before you the minutes of the previous meeting.
Right, make a motion that we approve the minutes written.
Second.
Have a motion second to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Minutes approved. Bills of payment, as I mentioned earlier, we had regular expenses amounting to $453,877.50. We had 2 weeks of payroll in the amount of $146,778.67 for a total expense of $600,656.17. Council's wishes in regard to the bills.
I make a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Bills will be paid. Okay. Resolution number 2025-03.
Ma'am, I have a comment.
Okay.
I have to clarify, make it simple, resolution, and just something to go by. I mean, it's not set in stone, but just something to go by we can have in our council package. And I believe this clerk made it simple here. He can add something to it if needed. And I'm making a motion that we pass 2025-03. Just to make it simple, that way we have something to go by when we have a package.
Okay, now what if we had mentioned verbiage. Do we want to add that to it?
Is that what City Clerk said?
No, that's what Richard asked. To add verbiage of what was on the...
We need to add that.
We need to add that to it?
And that's not a problem.
Okay, can we add that to it, then?
Sure.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we add that to it.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Have motion and second to adopt resolution number 2025-03 as written with verbiage being added.
For items on agenda.
For items on the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, vinyl siding for the Scout House. I think we talked about going with the metal, more durable, more lasting, and it's a little bit more money, but probably lasts a lot longer, maybe be safer as far as cutting grass out there, rocks getting slung, whatever. So, council's wishes in regard to the siding for the Scout House.
I have a question, Mayor.
Okay.
If he passes this, can he get on it? I know this week going to be a bad week for cold, but can he get on it pretty quickly?
It'll be a month.
When?
Month.
A month? Is that far behind?
Yeah. But it would have been a month for vinyl siding anyway.
Okay.
So,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe quicker, but okay. He was finishing up a job.
Well, I'll make a motion that we use the metal.
Okay.
Second.
Have a motion and second to go with metal siding at a cost of $16,100.
Colored.
Oh, color. I'm going to try to get brown. There you go. Okay.
What is that? What is it?
I tell you.
Brown. Brown
we'll
color.
We'll bring some samples. We'll
go. Also, the fund come out of the Alabama Trust Funds. Is that correct?
Come out of, yes. Yeah, Alabama okay. Trust mm-hmm. Fund.
I'll make an offer.
Okay. Did we get a second?
Yeah, we didn't.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We'll make contact with him and work on that tomorrow. Okay, electrical department supplies. Electrical supervisor is needing $12,194.50 worth of supplies from Gresco. And your listing is in the packet, and it's everyday stuff that he deals with on a daily basis.
Make a motion to approve that.
Is this stuff that's got to be bought right now?
I think he said
he inventory
needed,
was out, yeah, yes.
Well, I'd like to, you know, call him and ask him about each individual line item, see how bad he needs it. So I make a motion, we table it.
Okay. We have a motion to a table, do we hear a second?
Unless you want to kind of see that what this could come to.
Like he made a motion to, then we had two motions.
To what, table?
No, he had a motion to approve.
Okay, first we had a motion on the floor to approve. Do I hear a second to approve the $12,000?
I'll second the motion to approve the $12,000.
Okay, we have a motion to second.
I withdraw my motion as it is just a point of order to show.
Okay, all right, so we have a motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll let Corey know and he can be ordering that stuff. Okay, Mr. City Clerk, you want to talk a little bit about that city budget again?
We just need a motion to table it.
Yeah, a motion to table the city budget and come back in two weeks.
The averages.
With the averages.
That's my recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Mayor, we'll make sure we come back in 2 weeks, correct?
She said 2 to 3 weeks, as soon as she can get it together.
That's true, because you talked to me about that if we don't get it, that there was a grant that we may not be able to get.
Yeah.
That's what you told me.
I'm sure she'll work on it as quickly as she can.
Hey, on that, real quick, it's sort of in that theme. So this, we're just talking about putting the siding on. There's nothing added to that job, right?
Just the siding and soffit.
The siding and soffit, okay.
Yeah.
And when we had done that up about the restaurant, it was just about the siding and I think some flooring issues we were going to address, right? I think it's kind of progressed into something more than that. Is it, what do we have left to do, I guess is my question.
At the restaurant?
What is our end goal with the restaurant? Yes, sir.
The restaurant, we're lacking, she's going to come in, or they're going to come in and put the flooring down. They're going to come in and they're going to do all the painting inside.
He's got a list of things he's already purchased, things he's going to be doing. I may just get him to come to the next council meeting and give kind of an overview.
We got to punch out. Yeah.
No, we'll get Courtney.
Courtney.
The owner.
Courtney.
The one that's going to rent from us.
I thought you meant. On the city side.
They're still working on the outside of the
metal. Because that was all I thought we were going to do, the outside.
Yeah. Well,
I just didn't want it to morph in
the. They're on that wall that the electrical side's on.
They almost got all the metal siding down, finished.
So then we're done?
As far as the metal.
For the city side?
Right, should be. Because the ones who want to come in and put the restaurant in place are going to do the flooring, painting inside, what else they're going to be doing.
Okay.
There's a lot of, when we're discussing, a lot of floating around everywhere, and not sure what's all going on, but there's been rumors of vent hoods, fire suppressant systems, such as that. We're not planning on doing any of that for this building, are we?
A hood has not been purchased at all.
And we don't have any plans.
The cost of that would be more than I could approve, and I would bring that back to the council if that came to be. Yep.
I'm just very concerned that we just keep spending more and more money on a piece of property, and who determines the rent on this property once we have dried it in?
Mayor and City Clerk.
And at the last time I spoke of, it's around $500.
We were talking $500 to $600. And look, you know, we have an opportunity. This is my opinion. You may not agree with me. We have an opportunity to have a nice restaurant down at that park. We got a lot of people excited about Nett's Kitchen coming into that restaurant. I think it's going to bring a lot of sales tax in. There's going to be some utility expenses, and it's going to be an eating establishment that people can enjoy. And we've not been ridiculous with the spending. We bought lumber and we bought metal, and I don't know of anything else that the city has purchased, and that's been paid for out of AMEA money.
The rest is being paid out of AMEA money. I'm going to speak for some of the other businesses that have voiced. I'm all for establishing business there and a restaurant doing a great thing there, but it's not the city's job to make sure they succeed. That's their job.
Sure.
And it's not the city's job to put the equipment in there to make sure it goes forward either, because all that stuff is expensive, and there's been no guidelines. If we could come to a place to where we're going to dry it in and anything, or we stop where we're at and let whoever wants to do it succeed in a way that they bring money to succeed. Because you do have, I mean, there's other places, and I mean, their voices have, if we're not, we should not buy a vent hood by any means, of course, or do anything to upkeep equipment in any restaurant. We're in one deal now where we keep up one restaurant with their equipment with very low rent. And we need to get out of that practice, because we have other businesses, and I'm speaking, and I own a business, and I don't want everybody just to sit here and think I'm saying this because I own a business. I'm speaking on other businesses in Piedmont's behalf who pay sale tax to the city of Piedmont for operating there. And the last thing they want the city of Piedmont to do is to equip someone to run and furnish something if they can't afford to do it and make it tough.
Well, keep in mind, this is a city-owned building, too. This restaurant is city-owned. It's not private-owned. It's not Joe Blow coming in and buying a building and the city furnishing things for that building. We own the building.
But if
we talked about trying to get a restaurant from the beginning, and we don't have that much money in the building at this point.
If you got a risk, and I'm all for it, and that's fine, it's as long as it's within reasonable expectations of rent as far as everybody else is concerned in the city of Piedmont. It's not, if I could, or some of these other restaurants could rent for $500 a month and then have the city to upkeep every piece of equipment that goes into that piece of property, I'm here to rent tomorrow. I mean, I'll bid $600 on that piece of equipment on that building right now if that's the route we're going in.
But who's upkeeping every piece of equipment?
What's happening over here at the other restaurant is about $600 to $650 a month. And anything that happens in there, Piedmont's responsible for fixing.
And are you aware of what all he's put in that building?
I get it.
Okay.
I do think that we are losing out on revenue opportunity, much like with the commercial property that was over by the old Garcy building. We got that quote at 10 acres of commercial property for $40,000. I mean, that's not even, I'm not a real estate man by no means, but that you can't buy non-commercial property for $40,000 for 10 acres at $4,000 an acre. I do think that our commercial rent on our commercial properties is below average, well below average. It's completely ridiculous to think that you can rent commercial property for cheaper than you can rent residential property. And I'm sure some of our constituents would love to be able to rent a house for $600 a month right now. So I do see a little bit of where Greg's coming from on that they're paying $600 a month, and if the pipes bust in that building, it is on us to fix it. Whereas with our other business owners, nope, hey, that's a day you're going to be closed, and that's revenue that they lose, that's their livelihood, and they pay more for their property than what we lease commercial property for. So I think if we are going to do that, and we are going to do those upkeep, and there is that understanding that the city's going to maintain that property because we own it, then that should also be reflected in our commercial rent, because yes, for that business, that's overhead you're not going to have. That's insurance that you're not going to have. You're going to have more of a renter type insurance than, because we're going to have the insurance on the property itself. So that's overhead that they're not having to pay that could be offset
with the rent.
With their rent. So I do think we lose revenue because of our ridiculously low commercial rental fees.
We own two buildings in Piedmont. We own the Mexican restaurant, and we had the restaurant that, at the park now.
We got other buildings over by the hospital and places like
that. But they're not being...
I'm saying, but we can't say we only own two buildings.
Well, what I'm saying is that has somebody renting the building.
I feel like it would be more legitimate to have more, and nothing against you personally, but any city clerk and mayor determine what will be the rent on a establishment in the city of Piedmont.
How much do you think they need to charge? What is your price you think you need to charge?
I'm saying somebody...
Probably somewhere around $20.
Somebody who's more knowledgeable of the of what things should be rented for. I'm not saying take my standards, but I think there's a better business way of going about renting out these properties and even renovating these properties, because at $500 a month, if you've done $20,000 worth of work on it, or $30,000 work on that building, it's going to take you 6 years just to recover what it costs to renovate that property. And two, they're not paying, like Caleb was saying, they're not paying the insurance on it. Every pipe that busts, it's up to the landlord to fix those pipes, and everything goes. And we're not recouping nothing as a city.
I would like to see some commercial property ordinances. Either one, I'd like to see what we've got currently on the books, and then two, if they need to be looked at. So commercial property in the area goes, a lot of it is rented, it's based off square footage, anywhere between $6 to $32 a square foot, depending on what exactly it's used for. You know, obviously warehouse square footage is going to be your higher end. So, I mean, if we're not somewhere at least dead center or a little more to one way, you know, especially towards the higher end, then we're kind of cheating ourselves out on that. So I guess we need to look into something.
We'll bring the gentleman in next council meeting, let him explain what all he's done, and
But we also create a liability when we allow that business owner to do things in that building that if he moves out, is he going to gut it and take those things with him? He going to pull that flooring up?
He hasn't done anything yet.
No. But it would be
in a contract that it would stay with the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not much of a, again, it's very wishy-washy when these kind of deals are did with the mayor and the clerk.
Well, you know, Greg, you're the one.
It's not pointing the finger at the mayor and the clerk. It's pointing at any mayor or any clerk. There should be more business-oriented dealings with property in Piedmont in deciding how these properties are leased out.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you were the one when we first purchased the restaurant that you mentioned using as a meeting room.
What are you talking about, meeting room?
That restaurant. Instead of making it a restaurant, I heard you say something about a meeting room.
I didn't say nothing about
it. Yeah, I remember you saying something about that.
Regardless of what was said, that's got nothing to do with the conversation.
It does, because a meeting room doesn't bring anything into the city.
I never said anything about turning anything into a meeting room as far as...
You said that restaurant. You mentioned that to me. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Here's the thing about it.
I didn't mean to bring all this up. I just want to know, the purpose of it was that we were going to, you know, we inherited the building when we bought the property, and we were just going to make sure that the building was going to stay in good shape, and that was the purpose of redoing some of the flooring and some of the siding. And so that we're leaving it at that, right?
Yes.
The other thing is as you said, there will be a contract in place for any other work that they're going to do with
We're going to bring him in here. Yes, there'll be a contract.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not going to stop here, and I'm sorry. I know, and I'm trying to be ugly. But going forward, and y'all may not want to deal with this situation, and it's nothing against our present clerk or mayor, but there needs to be a better organizational skill about anything we rent, and it will save a whole lot of publicity on Facebook and everywhere else in the world those decisions are not made by the city clerk and the mayor. They're more tied in with some type of financial board or some type of setting other than everybody's treated the same.
When it came to that gazebo,
what's that?
Where was this call for oversight when it came to that gazebo?
We're not renting out the gazebo. to the public. I mean, that's part of, and we're not renting out the, site. There's a big difference in that, and we've already spent as much, we're probably getting close to spending as much on this restaurant as we did the gazebo, if you want to talk about it. And here's the thing about the gazebo, too. I'll bring this up as we talk about it. That was a, it was elected to be put down in a certain fashion, a certain form, but then the city clerk and the mayor decided that they would expand it, and it all got grown and blown out of proportion at that point. And we learned from that situation, I thought, but we're still there doing other projects, and we're going in the same direction. We're not, there's no, it's like we got this restaurant over here, we don't know where it's ending yet. Well, for all I know, it may have bent hoods in next month.
Okay, you through?
I'm done.
Okay, we're going to move on. Where are we at? Okay, city budget got tabled.
Yeah.
All right.
We vote on it?
No.
Yeah, there, we
well,
vote
we can. We're going to table.
Okay.
We haven't voted on it.
We're going to make a motion.
We already voted on it.
So, okay, we already did it. Okay.
I didn't know. All right.
All right. Okay, we're going to close out the work session.
We're already in the meeting. We've been in the meeting.
We're in the meeting.
Y'all got me so damn confused, I don't know where I'm at.
Number 10, Mayor.
Okay. Fire department, gym membership. Chief, you want to come up here?
TV again. I do have the end of the month report also that I'm going to do, and then a discussion on a fire truck.
He's going to do his room in month before, and he needs to try to express my fire truck as well.
All right, so last meeting, of course, well, let's do the end of the month report. On the end of the month report, should have it in your packet that we had 72 calls. With that, 41 were EMS, 3 were fires, and then of course you see the breakdown is kind of on in line with what we've been doing every month since we've been here. It was, I think, right at 72 mid last month. We did hit 80 a few months right as I came in October and stuff like that. So any questions on the end of month report? Okay. So on the health and safety plan, I submitted the plan to put into your packet one day, Wednesday or Thursday of last week, I don't remember the exact date. Along with the policy that we have in place for physical fitness, and also an attached letter from Foundation Fitness, and then a breakdown of what we have available at the different locations. So I think it's easy to say that we can all agree that the physical fitness aspect is very important in what we do, right? With all the stuff that we're dealing with, it's going to help improve our performance. It's going to help cut down on on-the-job injuries, those kind of things that we're dealing with on a regular basis, right? So the purpose of it, of course, is to have that healthy and fit person. Now, I know we're not all, you know, these calendar models that you see on all the firefighter calendars, right? We're not going to be that way. But if we can have the availability to go to a gym to where we can at least work on some of that stuff, getting and moving is going to be a big part of what we're having to do. Okay. Some of the criteria that we look at is it needs to be safe and effective. It needs to have the ability to scale up and down. We are limited with what we have in the engine bay, what we have Civic Center, and stuff like that. So we also need a high transfer of effect, being how much we can change in what we're doing. So, and then the ability to train multiple planes of motion, because a lot of our job that we do, we're not just standing in one place lifting a single weight, right? We're having to move while we're doing a lot of the stuff we're doing, whether it's lifting patients, holding up extrication equipment or all of that kind of stuff. So, and I'm trying to go through this because we're a little bit quicker just because of the time that it's going to take. All right, so, and then of course we need the freeways, which when you, if you look at the breakdown of what we have available between the three locations, freeways is not something that we really have unless we go to the gym that we were asking about. So functional fitness, according to the Mayo Clinic, of course, is training the body with activities performed in daily life. That's what we're going to be doing on job scenes. Yes, we can work with some of the equipment that we have around the station. We get back to where we're limited at what we can do, right? So if we have the ability to do that, whether it be through a, and I'm not saying a CrossFit, but a CrossFit type workout, those kind of things, those benefit us as firefighters because it's encompassing everything that we need within that workout. So we know that the benefits of that, of course, is injury reduction, weight control, improved performance, all of this stuff that's listed here, that's the benefits that we're gaining from this, okay? Before September, when I came in, I think they had somewhat of a policy they could go when they wanted to go to the gym. They weren't really doing that, right? If you go back and look at the letter, if you've done the math, I've done the math on it, from December 6th when we started going up to the gym, it was 68 days between then and when he sent me that letter. 66 of those 68 days, they had actually been in that gym, okay? So the increase of what they'd done, what they were doing, it of course was boosting morale. They were starting to enjoy, they were starting to get the function of going to the gym all the time and making that a priority. That's what we needed to be. Just for the simple reason, we're still dying from heart attacks. 40 to 50% of all line of duty deaths in the fire service are based off of cardiac events, sudden cardiac events, whether it's before, during, or after a call. So cancer is another thing. You can go in, you can see where doing physical fitness, those kind of things help build the immunity system, our immune system, to where it'll help with cancer, fight cancer. Helps us get the dopamine, stuff like that. That's gonna help us with PTSD, the mental health, that kind of side of it. So we get a lot of more benefits than just physically doing exercises, okay? So a lot of the movements that we do, lifting, crawling, pulling, hoisting, carrying, all of this stuff is what we're gonna do on every single scene we walk onto. Whether it's a fire, a lot of times on medical calls, we're gonna hit the majority of those when we're doing it. So it's beneficial to be able to do that. If you look at the breakdown of the Civic Center stuff and what we have here at the gym, we're limited because we're working on machines, so we're not getting that fluid motion that we normally have when we're having work. All right. So if you look, if you take just, I took just kind of a number out of the air. We have some guys, of course, that are over 200 pounds, but if you look at a 200-pound person, turnouts alone are 27 pounds, 23 pounds just for the air pack. So we're looking at 250 pounds without any kind of tools that we're going to be carrying. All right. Now we start looking at our hose. We carry 200-foot hose lines on our truck hand lines. If they're dry with no water, we're looking at 80 pounds. It's not a big deal. We put water in it, now we're up to 180 pounds, okay? That doesn't include the friction that we're having to deal with as we're dragging it through a house, you know, or across the yard, hanging up on stuff, those kind of things. We also carry 2.5-inch hand lines, 200 feet long, 108 pounds dry. You start putting water in it, 516 pounds, okay? So that's where we need, where we're limited on these, the gyms that we have, say at the Civic Center, what we have, we're limited as to the weight that we can work with, okay? So we also carry 4-inch line. I just done 50 foot on that because that varies. You know, we're going from, what is it, 40 pounds dry to 312 pounds when you put water in, okay? That starts taking a toll on the physical of the body as we're sitting here trying to work with this stuff. Even if you carry it over into the MVAs, other kind of fires, the cardiovascular side, we're looking at probably 130, 150. I have seen heart rates up to 180 that we're working in as we're working on fire scenes. Core body temperatures are gonna average between 100 and 102, and that's the entire time that we're sitting there working in our gear. Okay, extrication tools, you're looking at 60 pounds a piece, working on them. I've been on scenes where we're sitting there using them for 45 minutes straight, you know, trying to hold them up above our waist, and it's not where we can let them down, lay them on the ground. We're having to hold that weight, right? So same thing, when you're looking at lifting patients, cot alone is 85 pounds, okay? You throw a 200-300-pound patient on top of that, you're having to sit here and pull them off the porch where they're head high, coming off the porch, coming downstairs. All of those kind of things is why this is so important to us. So on this breakdown, you see what we have according to Civic Center Foundation Fitness and Stationary, right? The highlighted stuff on the Civic Center, that's what's in the women's workout room. So that's going to be where we probably will not go unless it's just we're needing to get on a treadmill, stationary bike, elliptical, something like that, right? But we were trying to include everything that was on there. So that we kind of had a somewhat of a good comparison. All right, so we take a look at all this, what we have. What we normally have in the firehouse is stuff like this right here. We've got a treadmill over there. Then we've also got, we don't have a cable machine like that. We do have a flat bench, and we'll get to that in just a second. That is 300 pounds rated is all that can be put on the bench. Well, you take Richard McCain, he's 280 pounds without anything, right? He's going to be benching 200, 250 pounds. We throw that, we're already over that weight limit of that being tried just because it's 300 pounds. So those are the kind of things that we're looking at that could get into the safety aspect that we got to watch out for with residential. So if y'all end up keeping and saying we're going to have to either buy equipment, put in a station, those kind of things. We looked at different places. We looked at Ride Equipment out of Birmingham. We also looked online at Grove, which is very similar to Ride Equipment. They deal with, they put equipment in a lot of your schools around the area, those kind of things. And we even went and looked at Academy and Dick's Sporting Goods, trying to get ideas of what it's gonna cost us, okay? When we were talking about this, you know, I told the guys, I said, we're not going extreme on this. We're going bare minimum, the kind of stuff that we need to get by. You look at Dick's Sporting Goods, the cheapest stair climber I could find was $4,000, all right? So we're already almost to where we were looking at for a year membership over there. If you had a treadmill into it, like I said, we have one. I don't know the condition of it as far as what kind of quality. I mean, it's a homeowner, a residential thing. It's been working the whole time I've been here. They still get out and get on it, you know, periodically throughout the shift. So we could probably get by with it over that. But you start looking at it, if we're going residential, we're going to be replacing this every so often. Every couple of years, we're going to have to replace it, right? So the cost that's going to be associated with that, to me, is not financially responsible with what we're trying to do, because we're going to end up spending more in the long run. So this is just little snippets out of some of the studies that I was looking at, going through all of this stuff and the benefits of having exercise, whether it's on cancer, resilience, sudden cardiac arrest, all of that, which is a little bit, and that's where I pulled a lot of the information from was these. All right, any questions on that? I know we went through it kind of quick, but and that's just going back asking, you know, can we spend the fire tax money for the gym membership that we were on last week that got, you know, voted against, is all we're asking out of that. So,
what's your sustainability plan? Like, we can't really go and, you don't really want to go and mandate it again, because compliance with mandation is, you know, not always great. Like I said, you get that one guy that sits on his phone and pedals at 2 miles an hour for the 2 hours required. Plus, you know, there's some other liability issues with mandating it. But what is your plan for sustainability? Because that I think some of the city concern I know for myself was, all right, we pay this, and yeah, everybody's ready to go to the gym in January and February, and then we roll around in August, and I got two firefighters that are going to the gym for a $5,000, gym membership, and I got two guys that are going.
So it's going to be annually based, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back and we've got a health and safety committee within the department, got one from each shift. We're going to go back and continually review all of this stuff and see, is it being used the way we need it to be? If it goes and we start seeing that it's falling off, then at that point, we're going to start cutting back, right? Yes, we've already took care of the year. We're going to absorb that, but we're going to start, okay, next year we don't have the participation in it. We're going to cut back to the ones that are going, and then we're going to say, okay, but you're still going to have to do some kind of physical fitness, whether it's here, Civic Center, or something like that. But we'll cut it back where we're not paying that much, and then address it as we go through. But like I was saying in last meeting, once we get that habit set, it's very easy to keep it going, right? And so if we can maintain it and keep them going, then we should be doing pretty good and not have to really look at it. But I've also, like I said, last meeting, we've got Assistant Chief Talbert is working on grants and stuff, and that's something that we're going to start looking at is where can we pull this to where we, if we can get a grant to cover some of this equipment, then that may be an avenue that we look at to where we're not continually paying this stuff out.
I want to share too that I visited the Chief and Assistant Chief Talbert a couple of times over the last week or two, and some things that I learned there, I was impressed with what they're doing, the training they got going on. And what to me, what he showed on the fitness makes sense. I mean, some of the exercises that Assistant Chief Talbert showed me that they go through were, you could see where all this would come in handy.
Have you made it to policy yet? If not, not a policy, a recommendation?
No, I've got a policy that we're going to go at least an hour a day. Okay. You know, and whether it's whatever we decide, but we do have a policy on that.
You have any kind of
It's not a mandated
incentive if they complete it. Do you have any kind of incentive?
If no, not at the time, no.
Well, could that be in your policy that you do lift? Maybe step rate more or something?
We could. Now, one part of what we're going to start implementing is an annual but we can do, and part of it, if we go by NFPA codes, NFPA 1500 is the one we follow under. You start looking at it, you've got NFPA 1582, which tells us what we have to do. There's not an if, it's a shall, right? It's our guideline. It is saying that we're supposed to do annual physicals. Okay, that's something that we're already starting in the works of finding where we can go and make it affordable, right? Because that includes, is doing the 1582 compliant physicals you're looking at, is doing EKG, it's doing hearing tests, it's doing lung tests, it's doing other physical agility stuff, and it's also looking at blood work.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're having to kind of start working towards. We just haven't got all of that in place.
You have an hour a year you have to do, like police customer, you have to do, y'all have that too?
Of physical.
Like CU?
What kind of money?
Credit unit?
So our EMT, depending on what level you are, you're anywhere from 30 to 50 hours of CEUs a year just to keep your EMT. As far as the firefighting, then we have, it's somewhere a little over 100 hours with everything between driver training, officer training, all of that stuff that we have to continually do every year. So, you know, it's a lot. And then if you're getting into your investigations, you have training, inspections has additional training on top of that.
Do you have online advanced courses?
Some of it is online that we can take. They're usually in an hour increments, in blocks, hour to 2 minute hour increments. The majority of it we do in person.
Okay.
Just because, you know, the online works, but you most people are going to go in there, hit play, and unless they have to stay in with the video and make it progress on, they're going to walk off and leave it, not even pay attention, and come back. So that, what are they getting out of that, right? Okay. So the majority of everything we do is going to be in person.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief on the gym membership. Okay.
So this is a truck, the one I brought to you last meeting sold that week. Okay. So I called the guy. I was actually going to go this past weekend to try to look at it. When I called him, he said that he had sold it a Thursday of that same week. So this one is one that we're kind of looking at, but I'm also using it as an example. All right. Because out of this, what I'm looking at is to see if we can go ahead and pre-approve, through the city and say, okay, we're going to allow you to spend up to a certain amount of money to where if we go and look at a truck and it fits what we feel we need, then at that point we can make an offer. Because what we're running into is you're competing with a lot of, say, volunteer departments and stuff like that who will go in, they'll make phone calls and get their agreement, said, oh yeah, if we like a truck, go ahead and make an offer on it. And kicking the can down the road, push it off 2 weeks, and then with everything, if it's not an emergency, then we're going to have to wait another, you're looking at a month kind of time frame that we're going to be dealing with, and we're going to be continually doing this over and over and over again if we don't come up with some kind of plan on that. But this one, like I said, it's a 98. It's a custom cab, it's a commercial, like the last one, 15,000 miles. They're asking $50,000. Okay. I talked to the chief of the department today. He said this truck is still in service. It's their frontline truck. They're buying a new one that's supposed to be delivered in, I think he said, June of this year. He said, but I asked him, I said, well, is that going to be an issue? And he said, well, we have another truck that's almost a sister truck to this, that what we'll do, if you buy this truck, we're going to move over into that one, and then you take purchase of this one. So as we're looking at these trucks, when I go looking at it, this is kind of the things I'm looking for. Start looking at the overall body of the truck, see if the paint, the kind of wear signs that we're going to be seeing on a truck this age, right? And see if it's going to be some kind of issue. A lot of times, if you look at the tread plate on the trucks, you can tell this one's been taken somewhat care of because it's shiny tread plate. A lot of times this stuff will be dull. Yes, I know they can go in, they can polish that stuff up. But some of the other stuff they're going to have trouble hiding, we'll show you in just a second. Normally, if it's been run pretty hard, you're going to start seeing rust on the side of the pump panels, those kind of things, where the water's leaking, things like that, that you don't really see on this one. You can see it from both sides that it doesn't have any rust. Inside the compartments look clean. You're not seeing a lot of dents and banging and scrapes and stuff like that on there.
This truck, if you get this truck, that could be put in service.
So if we were to buy this truck, we've got the equipment off the truck with the blown motor. Would go straight on this one and be ready to go.
But is that truck usable now? I mean, if 27-year-old.
Yes, if we went and paid them today for that truck, then they would let us, pending insurance.
You recommend that's a good truck?
From what I'm seeing, it is. Of course, I told them it would be come look at it, drive it, pump it, make sure it's going to be
good. Motor good?
Correct. Another thing you can look at is the wear on the seat. A lot of times this seat, with it having that high ridge on it, you're going to wear that cushion off, and it doesn't show really any wear on it. You can see the officer seat over here is the same way. It's not uncommon. And you go look in them trucks there, right here and right there on the seat, usually that cover on the seat, all that material is wore off down to the foam, right? Especially with this age. Pump panel on top, those kind of things still looks good. Underneath the truck, this truck is in the northeast, but you're not seeing any of the rust right here. Normally you're going to start seeing it even around here on your clamps underneath, those kind of things. That's your normal rust places that you're going to see it, and we're not seeing it, but it's because when I talked to the guy, he said they go in each year multiple times throughout the winter, and they're washing the underside of this truck. So it's been taken care of. So here, same thing, not really any wear on the seats, on the pump panels. Usually you can see wear, throughout the dash panel and stuff. We're not really seeing it. And then here's just some of the dimensions of stuff on the truck, 15,000 miles, 1,270.2 hours. You know, it's not a lot of engine hours. Our sitting over here, we're looking at 120, 130,000 miles, nearly 4,000 engine hours.
That's 127, how many hours?
1,020, they got a comma in there in the wrong place. It's 1,270.2 engine hours. And 15,000 miles, and that's just some more.
Where's this truck?
Specs on it. The issue is, this is sitting in New York. That's the only thing. Right, sitting just north of Buffalo. He said, yeah, I talked to him today. He said, if we were to fly, then we're going to fly. We'd fly into Buffalo. It's a 12 to 13 hour drive. The plan would be to drive up there and go see it instead of fly because of the cost of tickets, right? So that's where it's sitting in South Winston. Our Wilson is actually a volunteer fire company instead of the department, but that's where it's sitting at right now. And it'd just be figuring out time to go up there and see it. There are some others that I've been looking at. I didn't put them in here just because it's you know, they're all going to be the same. But they're just different locations, finding out where they're at. There's some in Texas. There's one in LJ, Georgia. But it's 77,000, I think, for it. Roughly the same thing in about 40-some-odd thousand miles. Those kinds. It'd be closer, a lot closer. But I don't know. I'm going to go look at it as we go through all of this. I'm not just going to pick one, and that's the only one we're going to go with. So, like I said, that's my thing is, that's all I got, is figure out, can we come up with some kind of plan to say, okay, we're going to allow you X amount. If we can find something that fits this, if you can go look at it, and if it meets that criteria that you feel will work, we can make some kind of offer on it to where we're not dragging this thing out 2 or 3 months, and then the truck sells, and then we're back to the same square one over and over again.
So this is $50,000 they're asking for this truck?
For this truck, yes.
How many miles again?
15,200 and something, I think.
Is
it was.
That
I did not even talk price with it, so I don't
that
know.
Biggest
for,
truck.
You know, he's going to
be trying to get back. We got from Missouri lasted.
How much do you think we would be able to get off of the truck? We would, I'm assuming we would sell or part out.
Yeah, I have no clue. I know from what I'm hearing, it's hard to sell the fire trucks itself just because it's so complicated to start breaking them down and maximize the amount out of it. I'm going to say a few thousand dollars, $4,000 or $5,000, but I really don't know the answer to that. And I don't know how to find that answer. I can talk to Fagan's and a few of the scrap yards and see, but I don't know.
How much life do you feel like this one could have left?
If it were to last as long as these right here, you're looking at engine mileage, then, you know, 100,000 miles more, right? We're going to put, I've not done the math on that, on these trucks, but if we put 25,000 to 30,000 miles on there, then you're looking 5-7 years, right? So my goal is to try to find something, you know, some kind of grant within the next 5 years, and still have build time and be able to get something off the grant instead of having to pay for it out of pocket.
Minus the motor, what condition is that truck in that we own now compared to what?
What this one is versus looking at? That one. So we looked at, we're going to spend, if we put a remanufactured motor in it or a brand new motor, we're going to spend more than the $50,000 we're looking at here. If we go and rebuild that motor inside the frame, we're looking at about $30,000. The issue is we're still having 130,000 mile transmission, rear end, all of that stuff under that other truck. So we'd have a new motor, but how long is the rest of the drivetrain going to last?
Chief, am I correct in saying that without the lack of this truck would impact our insurance ratings?
So you're talking about for ISO ratings?
ISO.
It will have some of the impact. I don't know the amount dollar-wise that it would do. It's, and we're due for another grading, and that's where we would find out something like that. Or wish they just grade, you know, it'd be insurance.